The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Commander Carson. The quarterback carousel continues turning. Does this stop make sense to anyone? Meanwhile, Russell's relocation. Will he rue the day he dashed to Denver? The decision and the division will go under the microscope. Plus, oh no, you won't believe what happened to LeBron's Lakers last night. Is it time to drop the curtain on this Hollywood horror show once and for all? We've got all that and a whole lot more as we get up with you on this Thursday, starting right now, and we are jam-packed. Diana's here. Bartholomew is here. Tim Hasselbeck is ready to talk some football. Brian Windhorst and Monty McNutt in the building as well, as we've got every angle covered, and we begin with the QB carousel. It continues to turn. Yesterday, sources telling our Adam Schefter that the Colts are trading quarterback Carson Wentz to the Washington Commanders for a package of draft picks. The big piece of the trade, of course, is Wentz to Washington. The Commanders are picking up his entire $28 million contract for this year. Let me show you the rest of the particulars of this deal. In addition to swapping second-round picks, the Colts also get a third-rounder and either a two or a three next year, depending on how many snaps Carson plays. So let's start with just the facts, Diana. How did this deal get done?
Yeah, so we know that Washington has been very aggressive trying to land a quarterback, and we know that Aaron Rodgers had no interest in playing in Washington, and it didn't work out with Russell Wilson because his eyes were on the Denver Broncos the entire time when the talks began there. So this was their next best choice. And I know you look at these contract numbers, or at least you look at the picks that they gave up, and you look at the price, right? They picked up his full salary. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a thought of, why are you paying so much for Carson Wentz? But I did a little digging talking to both Washington and even Indy on this. And it's two things stood out to me. One, there was competition for Carson Wentz. So the Colts had some leverage here mm-hmm. in terms of dealing him. And then secondly, for Washington, this price isn't so bad. Carson Wentz is a starting quarterback. He's started for the last five seasons.
Right.
This is an upgrade for Washington, and they view it this way. Taylor Heinicke has done a really good job, but there is no comparison to just the physical makeup and really the experience that Carson Wentz can bring to this team that has a great run game and perhaps a defense that, if they improve, could be really good.
It's just interesting, the tone in which you're saying that. I know you don't mean it this way, but it's almost as though you're trying to explain how to justify what they gave up for him. And I understand why you're saying that, because the football world's reaction to this yesterday seemed largely to be, boy, Washington got fleeced in this deal, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, when I talk to people in the league about Carson Wentz, and always they always point to the same thing, which is he is really talented.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the decision-making needs to get better. He needs to get better with timing. If the offensive line can protect him, and look, we saw in Indy, the offensive line is not the same offensive line we've seen in Indy over the years. Mm-hmm. He took a lot of sacks this year. Their run game was extraordinary. We know who runs that offense there. If the Washington Commanders can essentially do something very similar to what we saw Indy do, they can have success, which is why I do think there's a lot of people in that division who believe that this was a good move for Washington.
Bart, was it a good move for Washington?
I think it was the only move that they had, right? You look at the rest of the league and the other quarterbacks that was available, they just weren't that into Washington. You heard Russell Wilson talking about it and addressing it a couple of weeks before when he talked about his friends in Virginia talking about coming home, and he said he wasn't interested in coming back to the East Coast. But you talk about Carson Wentz and what he is and what he's been in this league. This is a guy that has played at an MVP level. And when you talk about, you look around and everybody's talking about Mitchell Trubisky and all these guys, right? They're going to, if they get $25 million, nobody's going to look at that and say, oh, that's a bad deal for a starting quarterback. This is a guy that the problem and the issues with him isn't his talent. It isn't his physical ability. It's his mental ability. And you hear some of the things coming out in Indy about he couldn't handle hard coaching. He couldn't be able to be challenged. He didn't want to be a leader. Well, all that is out of the window with Riverboat Ryan, because guess what? Sometimes the worst thing that can ever happen to a quarterback is that they go somewhere where it's a comfortable, familiar place where they don't have to earn or prove anything. And he had that. He had that with Frank Wright because he had had success. He understands that, listen, this is his last opportunity to be a starter in his league. Either he figures it out and he matures as a person and as a leader, or his career is over. He'll be a career backup. He'll be replacing all the places that Ryan Fitzpatrick used to go to. He'll be a bridge guy for the rest of his life.
Yeah, and let's remember, Carson didn't, and I'm like the female Dan Orlovsky today. He didn't have that bad of a season last year. 27.
Well, he had the misery ankles, right? He came in, he had the foot surgery. Then he came in, he had two. I don't know how the hell you tear, but you rolled both of your ankles at the same time.
Yeah.
But you know, understanding that, you know, he has to understand that sometimes the worst thing that can ever happen, and we see it happen with coaches all the time, is that when they falter, they go to a new place and they don't have to address all the things that made them a bad quarterback.
But here's the thing. When he went to Philly, Tim Hasselbeck, the comment that was made here, I believe I was the one who made it and many others did, was, if this doesn't work, then what? And he got a then what, right, Tim? He got another chance when I didn't know for sure. He's coming into a place now where he's going to get the ball, he's going to get the chance, he's going to get everything that a starting quarterback in the NFL gets, and another opportunity. I didn't candidly know for sure that was going to be out there for him.
I kind of think it would, or thought it would. And then you think about, you know, everything Diana said, everything that Bart said. Look, you got a guy that's not yet 30. He's got a ton of starting experience. It's not all been bad. Much of it has been good. He's going to make it, not just this upcoming year, but the next 3 years, which he's under contract for, he'll be making less than $30 million. That is a bargain by way of starting quarterback salaries. So you consider that. And I would just say this. I think that we would all agree, and it is clear, it's an upgrade at the position for the Commanders. Now, the question ends up being, if you're like, well, okay, like how good is Wentz? Are we all sure that the quarterback play, the replacement level player that Indy's going to get, is going to be better than Wentz? So I think you just get, like, you look at it from both angles and you think, no, like, Washington did not get taken advantage of here. Washington got a starting caliber quarterback that maybe can play better than people think that he'll play at a relatively good price. And if you think about the Indianapolis Colts, who have, many believe, a roster that's ready to compete, are they going to get better at quarterback? I think it's easier to get worse than better, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
We're going to address the Colts piece of this coming up a little bit later in this hour, because that does bring up a lot of questions. Who becomes the quarterback of a team? We all think if you just sort of take the QBs out, the Colts are better than the Commanders and have a better shot. Who will be their quarterback? We'll talk about it. Meanwhile, let's talk about another one, and that would be Russell Wilson. By now, of course, you're well aware. The Seahawks trading Russell Wilson to the Broncos for players and a package of draft picks. It's an enormous deal, and it gives Denver the elusive QB they've been seeking since they won the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning a generation ago. Wilson, of course, played 10 years in Seattle. He went on Twitter and tweeted, "Seattle, I love you, forever grateful, #3. Meanwhile, our buddy Booger McFarland on this program yesterday was suggesting he doesn't think Wilson has been quite everything everybody thinks he has.
I know everyone is going to say, man, Denver is an automatic Super Bowl contender. Denver got better yesterday. But I think if you just look at Russell Wilson the last couple of years, Russell Wilson really hasn't been great. The last 2 years, his QBR on third down has been 23rd in the NFL. Last year from the pocket, he was 22nd throwing from the pocket. So if you really want to look at it, this offense is going to have to help Russell Wilson be a better quarterback.
That set off an enormous, but basically it was at that moment that I lost control of the program yesterday, because Orlovsky and everyone is yelling back and forth. Here are the numbers. Last year was one of the worst of Russell Wilson's career. And yes, he did have an injury that cost him to miss a few games. But you see the numbers. They are what they are. It was his fewest passing yards, lowest completion percentage, and the first time he's ever had a losing record. So, Bartholomew, I'm trying to read your face. And you're a difficult, I'm never playing poker with you. I can't read. You always seem unhappy with something. Do you agree? How good is Russell Wilson and how good does he make Denver?
I mean, he makes them an instant Super Bowl contender. I think arguably he's going to push Kansas City for the division. You see, people hate that. I hate when people don't put the proper respect on people's name. Remember, before A-Ron went off for his two MVPs, there's a reason why they drafted Jordan Love, because it looked like he was starting to falter. He couldn't stay healthy. Russell Wilson was on a bad football team. And listen, I've been on a team with the offense led by Brian Schottenheimer. I'm not saying, but I'm just saying. Right now, you look at what happened, right? He didn't have an offensive line that could ever protect him. Listen, no nobody saw DK Metcalf.
Your offensive line is better than Denver's, though. When you take a look, when you match up the Broncos,
you take a look at Seattle's roster up against Denver's, they have better receivers.
The only thing that Denver, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, you don't think they're...
Yeah, I'll take Sutton, Patrick, Hamler, Judy. They go deep, and now they have two great running backs.
Here's what Russ has that he didn't have in Seattle now. He's got a defense.
Yeah, the Legion with no boom. They ain't had no boom in a long time. So that puts a lot on Russell Wilson. I think this makes him an instant success. And listen, you don't have to have a great offensive line if you have a great defense and you have an offense that can run the football and you have weapons galore on the outside. This is a team that almost went to the playoffs with Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock.
You know what's fascinating, actually, and this is a perfect little illustration of it,
yeah,
is that Russell Wilson, for the longest time, I think in his career, has been something of a polarizing
guy.
People
hate on him.
People like to.
They do.
And again, Diana's not hating on him, but and neither was Booger. But there are questions about whether, and no one disputes whether he's a really good player. He's obviously a really good player. Should he be in the discussion with the Aaron Rodgers?
He's one play from being a two-time Super Bowl champion.
I know, but that one play is him throwing an interception on the one-yard line.
Hey, that's a bad call. Hand it off to Beast Mode. We're not having this discussion, right? Guy that had his window.
Diana, what did you hear as you went around the league yesterday?
Well, first of all, you know, we know that Denver, they had plan A, Aaron Rodgers, plan B, Russell Wilson, and not really sure what their plan C was. I guess it would be Drew Lock. That said, you know, as much as Denver was doing their homework on Seattle, Russ was doing his homework on the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. He was in the building yesterday. I spoke to some people on the staff about sort of just the vibe of him. What was he like? Apparently, he was quite educated on this organization. This isn't something that just happened overnight. This has been going on for weeks. And, you know, I don't think there's any secret here that Russell Wilson has not been happy going back to last season when this whole story started. So in terms of the fit, and maybe as we used to talk about when it came to Aaron Rodgers, a change of scenery is sometimes just enough to give somebody new motivation to go back to being the successful quarterback that he was.
Yeah, look, I mean, he's super buttoned up, and again, no one questions any of that. So, Tim Hasselbeck, help me here, because I got some people, and Bart is not by any means the only one, saying the Broncos are now an instant Super Bowl contender, and I've got others saying Russell Wilson shouldn't have thrown himself into the murderer's row that is all those quarterbacks in the AFC West and the AFC at large. Where do you stand on all this, Timmy?
Well, listen, it may sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth with this one. Here's the deal. I think that he's the third best quarterback in that division, and that has a lot to do with how I feel about Justin Herbert. I think most people would agree that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the division. But saying that, I would also kind of agree with Barton from the standpoint, like, look, Russell Wilson threw 40 touchdown passes in 2020. So this idea that Russell Wilson, like, hey, he hasn't been as good as everyone, you know, is talking, you know, like he's been. Okay, he didn't have a great year last year. He missed some games because of the finger injury. And oh, by the way, he came back from that finger injury way faster than anybody ever thought that he could. So look, I think Russell Wilson does make them a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're the favorite to win that division, because that division is loaded with good teams and it's loaded with other really good quarterbacks, many of them ascending. And I would put Herbert and Mahomes obviously in that category.
Yeah. And here's what
I've played against the best. I've played against them all. You want to talk about Peyton Manning, you want to talk about Steve McNair's prime, you want to talk about Tom Brady. I played against Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I put him in that level. His football acumen, his ability to buy time with his legs, his physical when Russ cooks, his ability to understand the game. Hmm. Listen, he's one of the best I've ever played against, and that's saying a lot.
Here's what it is doing. I feel like since we started on the show a few years ago here on Get Up, we never talk about the Denver Broncos. I don't think I've ever come on the show and said, let's talk Broncos here. I'm excited about it. The Broncos are back. They are going to be a topic of conversation all next season and pretty much probably for the rest of Russell Wilson's career.
Quick final thought.
Why do you think Denver was on so many quarterbacks' lists?
Why do you think
Deshaun Watson wanted to go there?
Yeah.
Why do you think Aaron Rodgers wanted to go there? Why do you think he was on the list? Because everybody looks at his roster and saying, man, this is a tremendous roster, top to bottom. They got plenty of salary cap space.
They are going to be dangerous. We have much more football to go as we continue. But look who else has gotten up with us early this morning. Brian Windhorst and Monica McNutt are here. And oh, my goodness, we got trouble for the Lakers. They're visiting the lowly Rockets last night, Monica. LeBron back in the lineup. We're tied at 111 in the fourth quarter, and look at LeBron.
A beautiful backdoor cut, Greeny, and at 37, still got this kind of power?
He would score 23 last night, shot just 9 of 26 from the floor. Meanwhile, Jalen Green on the other side.
I mean, this is a kid that has grown tremendously over the course of this year, and he looks for big-time moments.
All right, so Russell Westbrook knocks this one down. He had a team-high 30 last night. Now, here's the final play. Lakers with a chance to win. LeBron!
Oh, gosh, Green, I get it, kind of, but you guys are old and you don't want to go to overtime and you're right at the rim.
He gives up the ball at the rim and Carmelo can't hit it. We go to the OT and the OT was completely dominated by Jalen Green.
I mentioned Jalen Green and Coach Silas is just really proud of this young man's willingness to learn and adjust. He's like a sponge and I think you see it over the course of this season so far. This was a terrific overtime performance from him.
Just watch one after another. Green knocking down threes. He would score 32 to lead all scorers and the Rockets beat the Lakers in OT. LeBron, what?
We just don't have a lot of room for error, you know, and, you know, when we make a mistake or we break down defensively or we don't get a good look at the basket, teams are literally making us pay every time. It's not like we're getting away with things. And it's just that simple. I mean, we have a very small margin of error, you know, this year. And teams are making us pay.
I mean, big trouble. There's really no other way to say it. Outside of the 56-point night from LeBron, the Lakers have lost six of their last seven. That was their only win in that stretch. You see where they stand. They're in significant jeopardy, I think, at this point of falling out of even the play-in tournament. And so, Wendy, again, as one who has been around LeBron since he was in high school, what do we say about the state of this Laker team right now?
This is not just about Russell Westbrook. He had a great game last night. It's probably one of his best three games of the season. 30 points, just two turnovers. This is the combination of trading for Russell Westbrook and losing your defense. The Lakers were the number one defensive team in the league last year, 2 years ago when they won the title, number three. They give up 120 points in regulation to a team that had lost 13 out of 14 games, that was missing one of its best players in Christian Wood. That is a disaster. And this performance defensively was sickening. Listening to Stu Lance, the Lakers color commentator, he was like trying to hold himself back, because he was so disgusted with what they said. Jalen Green, the rookie, he doesn't know any better, after the game said, yeah, we just targeted Melo every single play. That's why I just toasted him every single play. By the way, he's one of my heroes.
By the way,
what are you supposed to say? Like, he's just speaking truth. It's the combination of Westbrook not fitting and complete evisceration of defense.
And so, Monica, where does that leave them? I mean, we have continued, because it's LeBron and because it's the Lakers, to say, well, if this happens and when that happens, it's getting awful late for any of
that. Absolutely. They're running out of runway, Greeny. I think the most interesting part to me now is what will LeBron's cadence be down the stretch? Because I was of the camp, honestly, that he could consider shutting it down, but that's probably too far gone. But after that 56-point performance, he had to take a rest in terms of his knee. If you look at their schedule in terms of their last five games of the season, I think they played Denver twice. They got Golden State in there, Phoenix, and the only lump game might be OKC, I think. He won't have an opportunity to rest, and they will absolutely need him to win not just one play-in game, but two play-in games.
Yeah, remember, if you're 9 or 10, you have to win twice to get out of the play-in round, and even that, Wendy, what's the way out of this for him then? So let's just say, for the sake of argument, for this discussion, we're writing off this year. It's not going to happen. What is his way out of this going forward?
Westbrook's got to be traded. He's got to be traded for any three breathing players because it will be an expiring contract, and that will actually have some value. You go to a team that needs to clear some money off of their cap. Then battle royale between LeBron and the front office. The 2027 first-round pick, the 2029 first-round pick. Will they put those in play this summer to try to upgrade this roster with LeBron with 1 year left on his contract and an extension on the table? Wait and see.
What do you think, Monica?
Oh, gosh. Yeah? I mean, Russell Westbrook probably will not be a Laker next year. That makes perfect sense. I think LeBron is 37 and still putting up great numbers. Yeah. We just looked at his numbers in isolation. The Lakers absolutely need to maximize him. So that sounds like the formula, Wendy.
And the other thing that the other thing that he has in his sights, he's going to catch Karl Malone to become the league's all-time second leading scorer and eventually catch Abdul-Jabbar to be number one all-time. And that also factors into all this.
But there's a complete lack of excitement about it. You know, remember when Westbrook was going for the triple-double
sure.
record?
Mm-hmm.
They were going nowhere that year, but the fans were invested in it. You would think that this would be something that fans would be invested in. One of the star players of league history going for this mark. Greeny, this is a mark that we didn't think it would ever get broken.
Right.
He's going to probably pass it next year. But he's going to have to pass a Laker great. And there's melancholiness about what's happened with this team with LeBron. There's an absence of joy.
Wendy, but to a degree, that's almost what he wanted. He wanted to be a Laker. And in this instance, one of the organizations around the league where it's tough to have a brand that is bigger than the actual organization. And even though it's LeBron, if they were winning, we'd be thrilled. But right now, they're like, no, this is unacceptable in terms of Laker
basketball. And so to sort of put a ribbon on it, it is all of the people who will say, well, when they get Anthony Davis back and if they get a little rest, is there any way to salvage this season?
Because I am here to say this so I don't get fined. Yes, it is possible that Anthony Davis could come back and they could catch some sort of fire. But I am looking at a team where their star players don't work and their defense is atrocious. How am I supposed to be optimistic?
Let me help you, friend. They can catch fire by winning two play-in games and then losing the series. That's what's going to happen.
If that's the ceiling, then that's obviously not where this was all planned. Much more hoops as we go. We are jam-packed today. Coming up, Carson, now a Commander. The Colts facing an enormous decision that could change everything in the AFC. Wait until you hear who they have in mind as a replacement. And how much pressure is on Aaron Rodgers to win a championship this year? We will ask his buddy, Pat McAfee, joins us live as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You're watching Get Up. We are brought to you by Disney and Pixar's Turning Red, original movie streaming Friday only on Disney+. Meanwhile, Bart, you're a defensive guy, so avert your eyes. Ole Miss and Alcorn State. This is Peyton Chetania. All right, he's going to steal second.
Oh, great play right there.
Right? Pretty good heads up. Right now, hold on a minute. He realizes there's no one covering third, so he's going to take off and run.
Oh, keep your eyes on your luggage, Greeny. What are they doing?
So he's safe, but wait a minute, there's more. He realizes there's no one covering him.
You're kidding me, man. Listen, Willie Mays Hayes is rolling around in his grave in Major League 2. What the hell is going on here?
That is a defensive miscue coming up. Now that Carson is in Washington, where does that leave the Colts? Who should they be on the phone with right now? Diana's got the latest. Plus, the first taste of what could be the best rivalry in sports. What happens tonight in Philly? We're breaking it down. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, here's the most important thing we're going to tell you today. The Red Cross is providing humanitarian relief in response to the crisis in Ukraine. If you would like to help support and donate, please visit redcross.org/ESPN. Meanwhile, back to our top story of the day. So Shefty is reporting that the Colts are sending quarterback Carson Wentz to the Washington Commanders. They're getting a lot in return. They're getting a third-round pick this year and either a 2 or a 3 next year. And Washington will also pick up Wentz's entire $28 million contract for this season. Colts star linebacker Darius Leonard tweeted yesterday, "Here we go again. About to be 5 years with the Colts and 5 different quarterbacks. Thank you, Carson, for everything this year, my guy. Wish you nothing but the best." So that's a nice message. And Leonard has a point. Over the past 6 seasons, for a variety of reasons, the Colts have not had the same starting quarterback in consecutive years. They've really never recovered from the Andrew Luck situation. Once a stable franchise, you know, you went Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck, but now obviously they have found themselves where they find themselves, and they're back on the market again. And so, my insider extraordinaire, where does Indy turn for a quarterback now?
Well, there's definitely smoke surrounding Jimmy Garoppolo. And when I spoke with someone with the Colts organization about that being a real possibility, I sensed a little hesitation because of Jimmy G's recent shoulder surgery. We know that the Colts have had to deal with quarterbacks and their shoulder problems in the past. So let's just say they're probably doing their work on that. It's at least on the table for them. But then I asked, followed up with maybe perhaps Jordan Love. I was told no. Deshaun Watson, right? That wouldn't make a lot of sense in Indy. They have every piece. They just need that franchise-winning kind of type quarterback. And I was told no. They are not in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes either. Mitchell Trubisky recently spoke with Adam Schefter on a podcast, and he pretty much alluded to the fact that Indy is interested in him, but he has a lot of options. I came back from the combine, and that was the name everyone was talking about, Mitchell Trubisky, as if, you know, we're back in the 2015 draft there. So, you know, I think for the Colts, you have to see it this way. If they are moving on from Carson Wentz, it either tells you that they believe that there is another quarterback that's better, or it just tells you more about how much it was not working in Indy with Carson Wentz, if they're willing to take that risk. But Chris Ballard has always proved to have a plan.
Well, that's really what it feels like. It feels like they were ready. Bart, I know you made the point earlier, who are they going to get that's better? It feels like they were – I can't say this from firsthand experience, but they felt they needed him out of the building. Particularly the owner felt they needed Wentz out of the building, and wherever they go next was going to be okay.
I mean, when you talk about giving up a first-round draft pick, you talk about losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars, we knew that somebody was going to pay the price. And Carson Wentz was first in line because he was a guy that they gave up everything for. And Frank Reich said it himself. He put his neck out for Carson Wentz. And, you know, if the reports are true that he wasn't a great team guy in the locker room, then of course you had to make an example because he didn't play good enough. You know, we always talk about talent breeds tolerance, and if you're not living up and you're not producing, then you can't get away with those type of sins.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. The Eagles did not even get a chance to make the pick that they got for Carson Wentz before Wentz is gone from Indianapolis. I mean, that trade couldn't have gone worse.
Roseman's just like, this worked out wonderful.
But let's focus on the Colts of it all for a moment here, because that is, to Diana's point, a roster that is loaded. Put Jimmy G on that team, because that is the quarterback I'm hearing associated most with it. Can that team then compete in the, I keep using the phrase, the murderer's row that is the AFC with all those great quarterbacks?
Yeah, because of the roster. And Greeny, what's interesting, you know, I would have said kind of the same thing with Carson Wentz in the year he had last year. But I do think that it was more of a personality, connection with teammates, leadership issue for Wentz in Indy than necessarily a performance issue in Indy. And look, I would just say this. I understand that it was not working out for Wentz there. And I said this earlier, it's easier to get worse than better. So let's talk about the replacement players that you're going to get at that position for Indy. Maybe it's Garoppolo. By the way, his injury history has been such that it's the reason why the Niners, you know, traded up to draft Trey Lance. Then you look at other guys that may be available. Are you positive? Is everybody positive that you're going to get better quarterback play out of whoever, whether it's Jimmy Garoppolo, whether it's a trade for Kirk Cousins, whether it's Mitchell Trubisky, whether it's Jameis Winston? Like, name the guys and tell me you're positive that you're going to get better than you were getting from Carson Wentz. And I would just say, like, I'm not sure that you are. And so if you're not interested in some of the names that Diana talked about, then when you look at Indy, you got to be careful that you don't waste a really good roster.
I think that's a good point. Right now, as where we sit this minute, when we go through the list of teams that we could see winning the AFC next year, super quick, are the Colts one of them?
And no, they're the outside looking in, but we have seen people come from the outside in and catch fire. We know with that running game and that defense, they have the ability to. I'm always laughing at Mitchell Trubisky because, you know, has anybody's stock risen more for just not playing? Go ask your friends in Chicago how they feel about Mitchell Trubisky.
No, that's right. I mean, that's the point. But sometimes the devil you don't know is better than the devil you know. Mitch Trubisky is going to be a very rich man. We're going to see what happens. Guys, stay with me here. Much more football as we go, but I need to run the floor. Get my basketball crew back over here. We got great action in the NBA last night, including the red-hot Jason Tatum followed up his 54-point game on Sunday with 44 last night. Celtics beat the Hornets by 14. They've won 15 of their last 17. Boston is legit in the East. So, of course, is Milwaukee and Giannis. He poured in 43 and added 12 rebounds as the Bucks beat the Hawks 124-115. Giannis scored 82 points in a 24-hour span. He had 39 in a game against OKC on Tuesday night. Big game last night in Miami. It was on ESPN. The top team in the East blown out by the best in the NBA. The Suns beat the Heat 111-90. Devin Booker returned and led the way with 23. Phoenix is the first team to clinch a playoff spot this year. In fact, let's take a look at where things stand actually over on the eastern side of the ledger. With the Heat loss, the Bucks vault up for now as the closest team to Miami for the one seed. They're two games back, and then you see Philly, and of course tonight is a date that we've had circled on the calendar since the moment the big trade of Harden and Simmons was made. March 10th, tonight, the Nets go to Philadelphia. Now, in the moment the trade was made, we thought this would be Ben Simmons' return to Philadelphia. It sounds like he's going to return and sit on the bench. What is your expectation tonight, Monica, for Simmons' return?
Honestly, Greedy, I want to see who in Philly loses their arena privileges because I think that these fans are ready to act up tonight, and so I just don't know what's going to happen with that part.
Wendy, how about the significance of it?
I think Philly's own Hembo back there would lose his privileges if he was there tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
Why is he going there? After all of this, where they protected him every spot, why is he even going there? Doc Rivers saying they're going to maybe do a tribute video or he should get a tribute. That's antagonistic. That's an excuse. I don't get this, but actually I think that part of this is going to be if he gets treated so poorly tonight, it kind of boosts his case for why he had to get out of there. Mm. It's not going to make a difference in Philly, but it could make a difference in the public perception of why he wanted out.
Is there anything to be said from a player's standpoint, Monica, and you were a player, is there anything to be said for at least getting this first visit out of the way, even if it's just sitting on the bench? Because if they do face each other in the playoffs, which we all have our fingers crossed for, then at least that won't be his first visit. It will still be his first time playing, but at least whatever the initial vitriol the Philly fans want to get out of the way, it will have already happened.
I think so. I would have liked to see him play. I know we've been dealing with maybe some back injuries and such, but again, I think if we're going to go with the mental health component that he argued that was the reason he needed to get out, then I have to trust that maybe this is his process. I will acknowledge the next time they're likely to meet, if it's going to be this season, it's going to be the playoffs.
Right.
And so the stakes would be higher. So if you can't get right for this one, if it's not a physical thing, I don't.
But Wendy, are the stakes high tonight anyway, even without Simmons on the floor? Why are the stakes high
Listen,
tonight?
Greeny, this trade is one of the most significant trades of the last 25 years in the NBA. It sets the stage for the next 2 to 3 years. And so many reputations on the line, the coaches, the GMs, the owners. This is round one of we are expecting to be a long-running feud between these two organizations. And guess what? Kyrie just played one of the best games I've ever seen him play the other night in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. 50 points on 19 shots. Durant is healthy, ready to go. Philly is rested, playing great, awesome at home. Let's just put the Simmons thing aside. This is going to be a big game.
Absolutely. And so, Monica, what will we be saying when we're all back here tomorrow morning if the Nets go in there and beat them without Ben Simmons on the floor?
We will be reminded how good Kyrie and KD are alone. Just last year, KD was a toe away from pulling off something very spectacular against the Milwaukee Bucks. Listen, those two guys alone, if James Harden had stayed, that's one thing. But I have long maintained that big three only needed two. And I think that's still the case. Now, what I will say is if Ben Simmons gets right, what he adds defensively, trumps whatever James Harden brought potentially. And to me, this game and this rivalry potentially will come down to who's able to come up with big time stops and big time moments, because the points are going to be aplenty, quite frankly.
And Wendy, I feel the need to remind everyone that as great as Philly has looked and as bad as the Nets' record is, they remain the favorites in the East in Vegas.
It's insane. I mean, that's just insane. The fact, I mean,
is it not accurate? I mean, at this point, would you bet against them if Simmons going to come back?
Do they have inside information that Kyrie is going to be able to play? I know Woj keeps leaving the door open, and I believe Woj here. If Kyrie cannot play every game, this is a moot point. They will not be able to get through three series. That is the most important information. I would say the two most important things in the NBA title race: how healthy is Draymond Green? Is Kyrie Irving going to be able to play home games? That's everything. And because today the answer is no, how can I possibly agree with that?
Monica, you look skeptical.
I think we forget. KD was in our MVP race and carrying what my friend affectionately called church league guys early in this season. Yes, Kyrie could change the dynamic, Wendy, but if KD...
Look at those two guys right there.
Listen, like, first of all, we got to see
how it shakes
out. We're
not talking about Milwaukee. We're not even talking about Miami.
We got to see how it shakes out. And the other part to me is what KD can do and the pieces around him. When I look at this roster compared to that roster, there's more pieces offensively in my mind.
When they can all play.
Who's my shooter? Seth Curry. I'm talking Patty Mills. I'm talking all of those guys. Even without Kyrie, if KD's still your centerpiece.
Not maybe in 2014, maybe in 2017, not in 2022 Eastern Conference.
I told you, Wendy, on our radio show, the day this trade happened, Seth Curry is going to win the Nets a playoff game. Somewhere along the way, we will be saying they won that game last night, and maybe it'll be a decisive
game. It might be tonight.
Because they got him, and maybe it'll be tonight. We will see. Should be fascinating, obviously. We'll have complete coverage tomorrow. And then we have a great primetime game coming your way Saturday night on ABC. We got Steph and Clay and the Warriors hosting Giannis and the Bucks. Could it be a preview of the finals? Of course it could. Our coverage begins with NBA Countdown 8 Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app. As we continue, will Aaron win another in Green Bay? Does he need another to secure his legacy? We'll answer those questions and more. We're getting up with you on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
To all the non-believers.
How did that?
To all the non-believers.
I can't wait till the day I make it. I can't wait.
We're a good football team. They can't stop a nosebleed.
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Words that made the man a legend. I used the meme just yesterday. Anyway, Bart, take us through some NFL storylines you can't wait for, beginning with Bobby Wagner.
Let me tell you something. If Ray Lewis was available in his prime, would it be a market for him? Absolutely. Listen, I know a lot of people want to say, hey, Bobby Wagner should maybe go join up with Dan Quinn in Dallas. Dallas ain't going nowhere. Could you imagine if Bobby Wagner went to the Buffalo Bills? Mm. Everybody got that smoke, and then Debo comes to town. Debo coming down and set everybody straight. I tell you what, if I'm Buffalo, I am the first person in line trying to win a championship with Bobby Wagner. Also, if I'm there and with the Rams, I'm looking for a Hall of Fame middle linebacker.
Let that
serenade you a little bit. That's a little Kenny G, if you don't know. Listen, I'm sure this isn't the first time. You know, this isn't the first time that Jimmy G has been courted and been chased. But this is the first time he's ever going to be, you know, this is the courtship time of the year. Could you imagine now all the teams going for him? You got Pittsburgh and his DMs. You know what I'm saying? You got Indy. You got Tampa. You got New Orleans. It's great to be Jimmy G right now. It's not about how good you are. It's about timing. And the timing couldn't be better for Jimmy G to get serenaded.
Okay. Fair enough. How about this one?
Oh, listen, we've been waiting so long to see where these guys want to go. We heard Russell Wilson saying, hey, you know, he was interested in staying in Seattle long term. But I tell you what, he changed the shift of the power. You talk about the division now. Last year, he was in the division, probably the most competitive division. Now you look at Russell Wilson competing against Pat Mahomes. And listen, we all knew this was going to come to a head. We knew, and everybody was talking about Aaron Rodgers. This is like Chris Rock. Listen, I think I love my wife. As well as he think he loves his wife and he's staying home, but now the pressure's on Aaron Rodgers because we got to know what this contract looks like and how many of his teammates he's going to have to cut because of his payroll.
Well, so look, I have to admit that I'm still sort of recovering from the Kenny G sax music over the Jimmy G.
Why do people chase Jimmy?
Why are they chasing Jimmy? Because he's the only quarterback available.
No, I meant outside football.
He's distractingly handsome. I'm distracted all the time.
I bet these DMs are full. Come
on, stop. Neither here nor there. Here's the thing. The Rodgers of it all is fascinating. I want to give props to my main man, Tim Hasselbeck, because the last time he was on this show, Hasselbeck said two things are going to happen.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers is going to stay in Green Bay, and Russell Wilson has taken his last snap as a Seattle Seahawk. So we talk about all our Nostradamus stuff. Hasselbeck, you had that one, both of those, exactly right. Now, having said that, what is at stake for Rodgers? Yesterday, sitting in that seat where Diana is now, Dan Orlovsky said no player now in the NFL is under more pressure to win next year than Rodgers is. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think in some ways we need to look at it the way we looked at, like, Matthew Stafford going to the Rams. Like, and, you know, I think we view Aaron Rodgers differently. So, you know, a lot of times we'll talk about teams and quarterbacks and where they're getting in their career, and we say, hey, it's Super Bowl or bust. They need to win another championship. And, you know, Bart, you know, was saying a second ago, like, hey, look, Russell Wilson's, you know, one pass away from having another Super Bowl. Look, we will view quarterbacks differently when they have more than one Super Bowl. And Aaron Rodgers does things that, quite honestly, you could argue that no other quarterbacks have done in terms of how he plays the position. And so the fact that he's got one Super Bowl, I think, you know, how people will talk about him is affected by that. Now, you win more than one, all of a sudden the group and the community you're around gets much, much smaller. And so, yeah, I think the pressure for Aaron to win, for staying in Green Bay and kind of taking as much control over or a appearance of control of who's on that roster, yeah, I think the expectation and pressure to win it all are there. But I also think they've been there the last few years.
Absolutely. But to your second point there, and Diana, I'll turn to you on this one. Yeah. It is not only the pressure on him historically to try and reach the places that some of the other great quarterbacks have, but it's also about the unprecedented level of power he now wields in an organization that has never given that to players, and the contract is a big piece of it.
Yeah, yeah, and power that I think should be granted to him. He has proved 4-time MVP. He deserves every single dollar. And, we're going to give Tim a big pat on the back for all his predictions on where these quarterbacks would go. And we also spoke on this show that he wanted to be the highest paid player in the NFL. And while he hasn't signed that deal just yet, and those details will come out, it will come out to show that he is going to be the highest paid player in the NFL. And he deserves every dollar of it. And look,
they can work it. I don't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, sure.
But whatever the deal is,
yeah,
it has to be structured in such a way, mm-hmm, if it's going to make sense for him, because this is a man who already has all the money in the world and has the ability to make all the money in the world going forward. It has to be structured in such a way that we do not see that kind of exodus of good players from Green Bay, right?
Yeah, exactly. So what's going to essentially happen is he's going to have a gigantic signing bonus. And what it will do, it will give some relief in the salary cap in this upcoming season. That way, they can pay Davante Adams and add those other pieces. So that's really, it's really these small details of how they are trying to make it look. Of course, there's a little PR in this, but at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers wanted to get paid. He wanted to get paid a lot of money, and he's getting it.
And so, Bart, is it now the prohibitive best team in the NFC? When you look at Brady retiring, you look at Russell Wilson out of the conference, are they the team to beat in the NFC next year?
Not even close.
No.
Not even close.
Who is?
I think it's still the defending champions within that division. And you look at, listen, you talk about his contract, and listen, if he's going to be one of the highest paid players in the league, and then you look at back to Ari, who's one of the second highest paid offense linemen in the league, and then you look at Davante Adams going to be, you know, the highest paid receiver in the league. When we look at Mike Williams, you know, who set the bar, you know, for guys that are good, not great, at $20 million, what do you think Davante Adams is going to be? Davante Adams is not going to take a discount for anybody. He hasn't got his bag yet. Aaron Rodgers, this is his third time at the table. So you look at, okay, the depth. Right, we talk about Bakhtiari missed games because of injury. You think about Davante Adams, he missed games because of injury. They can't afford, in this league, you got to have tremendous depth, right? We watched the defending Super Bowl champions. We watched them lose their best receiver, one of their best receivers. We watched them lose, you know, or their most important receiver. We watched them lose, you know, so many of their players, but they continue to go out and have the money in the wiggle room to go out and get Von Miller, go out and get Odell Beckham to fill that up. Aaron Rodgers taking too much of the piece of the pie isn't going to allow them to have depth, so they can't be the favorite favorites, in my opinion, because they're too top-heavy.
Tim, on the Packers, your favorite to win the NFC next year?
They are, because I think the quarterback is so much better than any other quarterback in the conference. And then I think the other aspect of it is, I get what Bart's saying about the Rams, but the Rams are going to look a lot different, next year. You know, what happens to Von Miller? And they would have to pay him. They want him back. Odell coming off an ACL injury again. So I do think that while they're not a perfect team, I do think that, with how this ends up getting, structured, and Diana alluded to it, they're going to be able to keep some really good players that maybe they thought that they were going to lose. And look, best quarterback in the conference and, probably the best wide receiver, in the conference back with them.
I would throw the division in it as well. They have to deal with San Francisco and Arizona.
Yeah, lost to Jimmy G twice, right? So, like, the greatest quarterback, that's not enough help around him. Who's the other receivers they're going to bring? Are they going to be able to bring Lazard back? He's not going to play for $600,000. Campbell, he's not going to pay for that type of money. They don't have enough players to get the other good players.
We will see what they're able to do. And we will talk to Aaron Rodgers' best friend in the entire world. Pat McAfee will join us live in our next hour. He's about 45 minutes away. Don't miss my main man McAfee live here on Get Up. Meanwhile, as we continue next, Carson the Commander back in the NFC East. How'd it get done? Can he resurrect his career and shake up a division he once dominated? We'll answer all those questions next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.